listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio. It's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde, and we're in luck. Because we have here the Greens Pacifica branch open letter. The Green Pacifica leaders, it's an open letter to the Green Party from the outgoing Pacifica Greens members. Read out at the Green Party AGM last weekend. And we're going to read it through together and see what we can make of it. I find it interesting because this is this thing of being in the grievance Olympics, who's got the most to whinge and whine about. And you get to whinge and whine by the group that you identify with. So it's not necessarily something has happened to you. It could be someone else, but you're hurt because you're part of the group. And the Greens, it's almost their political raison d'etre is collective guilt and collective victimhood and this constant whinge. Never talk about the need to provide a service, make something. Nope. Just whinge. So anyway, it turns out that the Pacifica group have got a lot to whine about and to whinge about to the Greens, not to the world at large, but actually to the Greens. And of course, it's addressed to, in particular, Chloe Swarbrick, because she's remarkably white and privileged. And actually, let's cut to the chase, probably an oppressor. So here we go. And this is an open letter to the Green Party from the outgoing Pacifica Greens members as they resign. I'm speaking as both the Secretary of the Pacifica Greens and the Greens' first Pacifica elected member. Due to our recent experiences in the Green Party, and in the spirit of openness and transparency, I'm taking this opportunity to speak frankly, giving voice to our concerns and mamai, or pain. So the group have concerns and the group have pain. That's why they're leaving the Greens. Firstly, we express our deep hurt at the Greens' blatant disregard for us. Earlier this year, when Whananana Efeso Collins passed away on February 21. Before he became an MP, Whanau was, alongside Alofa Aino, a co-convener of the Pacifica Greens Lived Experience Network. Imagine it. So within the Green Party, there is a group called the Pacifica Greens Lived Experience Network. So it's a bunch of individuals in the Green Party who are Pacifica and they're Green and they have a lived experience of being Pacifica and they network. His leadership invigorated our small network and with us we got this energy. Whanau brought us much hope. While I knew that some party members were initially suspicious of him and some MPs had privately attacked and undermined him during his 2022 mayoral campaign, Whanau bore this hurt silently while keeping his eyes on the big picture. The honouring of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, which would mean the vast improvement of the lives and future of his beloved daughters, all the Southside whānau and Pacifica communities throughout the Mutu. Now, just pause here for a minute. So politically, the thing is to honour the treaty. Which, when I read the treaty, I think we pretty much do. Bad things in the past, but nowadays... But how does government honouring the treaty give a vast improvement to the lives of his beloved daughters. Seriously. As compared to, say, growing up with good character, working hard, having self-respect, learning a skill, a trade, so you can help people and earn yourself a living and provide for your families. They are the things that give you a vast improvement to your future, not a politician saying, oh, we honour the treaty. Anyway, we carry on. Fanana's maiden speech of February the 15th revealed the depth of his promise, of the gift he was to Aotearoa, and we are forever heartbroken for his aga, his communities and for ourselves. As a paradigm breaker and expert relationships builder and broker, Fanana inspired an increased level of investment amongst our membership. And we knew that this powerful and quietly commanding leader would bring many Pacifica supporters and voters to the Greens. The void he has left is immeasurable. We feel the grief is his loss every day, and we are so very grateful to have known and laughed with him. Well, good on them, because they're giving voice to obviously a good man that died way before his time. Oh, it goes on. Once he'd passed, the party's leadership sprang into action. However, no one in the party's leadership reached out to Alofa as our remaining Pacifica Greens co-convener to offer her support and to acknowledge her immense grief at having lost not only a co-convener colleague, but also a beloved friend and brother. Well, I wonder. I suppose you could feel hurt by that, but would you write a letter about it? I mean, I imagine the Green leadership was busy. They just had an MP die. And I'm sure what they said, they reached out to everyone. But no, you see, they specifically didn't reach out to the Pacifica Greens co-convener. So that hurt her. We acknowledge to Rupu Ponamu, all the other lived experience networks. Gee, so there are a lot of lived experience networks in the Greens. And GLN, don't know what that is, who did reach out. Between us, we Samoans collectively carry significant cultural knowledge amounting to hundreds of years of lived experience of whalalawa such as this. Yet we were not called upon for advice or guidance. No welfare checks for us. That's checks as in how you're going, not money. Nor an invitation to stand with the party. While members throughout the motu heaved in sadness and shock. If a Maori MP had passed, there's no way that Te Rōpū Ponamu would be left out of it and not central to the party's response. Oh, I see, it's a cultural thing. I can get that. So culturally, the Green leadership didn't reach out to the Samoan group for how to handle it in a Samoan way. Yeah, I can understand that. But would it cause you a grievance? Of course, the exclusion of Pacifica Greens following Fanana's passing arose from the broken and damaged relationships caused by the party's disappointingly disgusting treatment of Professor Elizabeth Kerikeri, wife of Alofa Iona, our co-convener. Ah, now we're getting to it. So I don't know, there was an MP that they got sick of and it all fell to bits, and she's the wife of the co-convener. We cannot watch another Wahine Maori be cannibalised by this party without voicing our condemnation of the choices and decisions made by the party's leadership. So Elizabeth Kerikeri, who got thrown out of the Greens, or did she leave the Greens? I can't remember which. She's the wife of the co-convener. I don't know. I get a bit lost in these relationships, in these Then we get on to this recent outrage, which is Darlene Tanner, who's been kicked out of the Greens. The appalling treatment of new MP Darlene Tanner has deeply distressed and troubled us. The co-leaders have again inflamed and weaponized media narratives, intentionally smearing Darlene's character, integrity and mana. And since threats and intimidation have failed to make Darlene resign from Parliament, the co-leaders have now resorted, at extremely short notice, to forcing the party to consider invoking the Party Hopping Act. Well, I couldn't see how they could keep Darlene, given her fingers were all over that business malpractice. And I don't think we've heard the end of it in terms of tax obligations, for one. As such, an invocation would be against long-standing policy. This decision should not be rushed. This rush, we assert, is not because of Darlene's alleged poor treatment of migrant workers, but because of the party's budget. Now, it could be that Darlene was less than honest. For us, the treatment of Darlene has been deeply re-triggering, evoking once more our feelings of sheer helplessness, deep disappointment and shame for the party as we observed Professor Elizabeth Kerikeri being subjected to a process that was reported as being mana-enhancing. It was anything but. In that case, the co-leaders manipulated the racist, angry brown woman hurting the fragile white woman trope. Whoa. Whoa, man. Oh, boy. This is... In that case, the co-leaders manipulated the racist, quote, angry brown woman hurting the fragile white woman trope for the frenzied media coverage when in real time, Elizabeth was routinely attacked and undermined by senior staff and some MPs during her term. So, Chloe Swarbrick manipulated the media with the trope that this angry brown woman, Professor Elizabeth Kerikeri, was hurting her. This poor, fragile white woman. I spent a day with Elizabeth once. She moved into a new independent MP's office, and the immense relief from having to cope with the supposedly non-violent Green Party caucus and parliamentary staff was palpable. Elizabeth provided the Pacifica Greens with invaluable support, offering with her characteristic generosity a wealth of organisational knowledge and strategic leadership to guide us in developing a national Pacifica strategy, which incorporated a campaign to wrap around Whanaunga and a roadmap to visualise and eventually harness the enormous untapped potential of new Pacifica members and their communities. We know two of Elizabeth's invaluable contribution to Te Rōpō Pōnumu, the Rainbow Greens and the wider party, so we were not the only network or individuals who spoke out against such treatment. Following her resignation, Elizabeth continued to put the party's interests above her own. As an independent MP, she voted with the Greens in the House, assisted Whanaunga, and encouraged the communities to party vote Green in 2023. We have no doubt that Darlene will be, as an independent MP, continue to party vote Green and the party in the House as well. The Greens' principle of non-violence in the Green Party Charter has been again and again contravened by women Green MPs who routinely heckle and yell in the House, who intimidate other MPs and who bully two Wahine Māori MPs. Contrasting the treatment of Elizabeth and then Darlene with that of two other women MPs this year leads us to ask, will Wahine Māori MPs who are perceived as a threat to the co-leaders' comfort levels and ambitions always be an endangered species in the Green Party? Ouch. So Māori woman MPs threaten Chloe's comfort levels and her ambitions. And therefore, according to this open letter, they must be endangered, kicked out. A Green MP was filmed in Parliament being verbally abusive to and physically aggressive with another MP. How is that behaviour not a serious breach of a charter? Why is that MP still in office? Maybe because it wasn't illegal. Minimising her behaviour because an apology was given rings very hollow indeed when both Wahine Māori MPs were silenced, not allowed to be at Parliament, and left with no choice but to resign. Why were those so hypocritically held to this mythical standard of behaviour when others are not? Because I think Elizabeth Kerry was moved on because of bullying allegations, wasn't it? At least in Darlene's case, an actual investigation occurred. That is disgraceful waste of money, and the co-leaders should not speak of natural justice when the decision to force a resignation had already been made. Because members of the dominant culture are never impacted on a daily basis and in a myriad ways by racism. The unjust deployment, whether conscious or unconscious, of power based on the assumed rightness of whiteness. People are often asked to explain what culturally unsafe means. So, poor Chloe, she's the dominant culture and she's a little racist. And she maybe unconsciously deploys her power, assuming that she's right because she's white. This is from within the Greens. And then it goes on to explain, we are culturally unsafe when we are voiceless in an organization that purports to care about but only pays lip service to the needs and priorities of our respective peoples. Ouch. We are culturally unsafe. We must endure the performance, but not the substance and actual practice of general cultural competence. Poor Chloe. She's not culturally competent. We are culturally unsafe when Wahine Maori MPs are sacrificed for the party's media optics, political gain, and money. We're culturally unsafe when the co-leaders, Pākehā or other Tau Iwi MPs, continually disregard and flout the principle of non-violence with no repercussions. So, the co-leaders are being accused of violence by the convener. We're culturally unsafe when we as a people in this party most close to him and his family are not strategically supported to deliver on the dreams, hopes and ambitions of the late Whana Alfiso Collins. We're culturally unsafe as we make the statement, knowing that instead of reflection and genuine change by the party leadership, we will most likely become the next targets of vitriol and misinformation. Having suffered from and witnessed actions that have demeaned and disempowered our cultural, spiritual, and familiar well-being, Alofa Ano, Vesemeka Tavala, and I tender our immediate resignation from the Green Party. Excuse me. We also speak for other Pacifica members who do not feel sufficiently safe. Dead their names here. We hope that in time the Greens will once again be a party that consistently and equitably lives by and upholds the four principles of the Green Party Charter. Therefore, we wish all our very best and our much aloha to those, especially our Pacifica Greens Aji, who are willing to and able to stay. As Whanana said on February the 15th, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. That is from the Secretary of the Pacifica Greens and the Greens' first Pacifica elected member, Marie Lafiso. Oh, man. So, Chloe Swarbrook, sort of holier than thou on the standing up and being culturally appropriate, you can't win. Can't win, Chloe. And that's why we have to set a more modest standard for ourselves, don't we? Be good people. And respect people as individuals. And look after them as individuals. Understand their groups. But this grievance Olympics, you can't win that, Chloe, because of your identity. You can't overcome your whiteness. And you can't overcome your own members and co-conveners thinking that because you're white, you're always claiming to be right. Send me a text, 2057. Email me, inbox at realitycheck.radio.
Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.